This is Truth Frequency Radio.
No hate, no hype, no fear. Real people, real radio.
Undisclosed location high up on the Rocky Mountains. Here are your hosts, Chris and Cherie G.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It is July 26, 2014. Another jam-packed edition of the Chris Geo Show coming your way this Saturday. And joining us in just a few moments will be our dear friend, Max Egan. This is Gaza. Genocide Part 3 coming to you this evening right here on True Frequency Radio, also on the Genesis Communications Network as well. I want to go over a couple of very disturbing things that I came across in regard to this Gaza and Israeli conflict and the amount of disturbing information that I've come across is astounding. I don't even know where to begin when it comes to this particular situation. But I do know that the support of Israel is really dwindling. Even Hillary Clinton is coming out and demonizing Israel for the genocide that they're committing. And you have to remember, this is a woman who was laughing like a jackal when Muammar Gaddafi was assassinated. Laughing like a jackal on national television. Now, doing things on national television is not outside of the realm of general tactics and regular tactics that Israel uses, or Zionists, I should say. You know, we want to make a distinction between the two, between Israelis and Zionists. But the people in control of Israel right now are not Hebrew. Their bloodline doesn't go back to Hebrew. It actually goes back to the Khazars, and it goes back to the British monarchy. These people are Caucasians posing as Hebrews. The real Hebrew bloodline goes back to Palestine and the Palestinian people. If you type in Google right now and you type in Jesus bloodline Palestine, you'll get some very interesting articles and some information that actually leads back to the possibility of Jesus being tied into the Palestinian bloodlines. Now, Cherie and I were eating dinner earlier, and I got to thinking, and we started talking back and forth, and I asked her, what do you think about this possibility? And this is just something I'm just throwing out here as a possibility. I don't really have any evidence to lead me to this conclusion, but I'm just speculating here. What if the Jews, or the Israelis, or the Zionists, or whatever, they're waiting for their Messiah to come back? They don't acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They're still waiting for the Messiah. This is what we've heard from them forever. What if the Messiah that they're actually waiting for is what Revelations calls the Antichrist? What if that's why there is such a push to make the whole world stand against Israel and hate Israel? Because it's very difficult to look at the genocide and everything that's happening over there and not form a generalized hatred for an entire race of people. I'd really like to speak to somebody on the other side of the world who's seen the horrors that America does and can make the distinction between Americans, American government, and Americans. Because I know me personally and most of the people that I interact with, nobody wants to go to Iraq and commit genocide. Nobody wants to go to Afghanistan and commit genocide. These governments are doing it in our name, with our tax dollars, but without our consent and against our will. I have to believe that the people of Israel also feel the same way, that they're protesting what their government is doing. And in New York, as a matter of fact, there are a lot of real Hebrews that are protesting the Zionist movement. Zionism is a political movement. It's not a religious movement. But then we get information like what I want to go over right now. And this is very disturbing. And this seems to be a trend. It looks like underage girls in Israel who are posting half-naked photos of themselves with captions that say, "Death to these effing Arabs." Another one says, "I wish a painful death to Arabs." Another one says, "From the bottom of my heart, I wish for Arabs to be torched." And I guess they mean tortured, or maybe torched. "In the end, there will be no more Arabs, God willing. I spit on you, you stinking Arabs. We wage war, so this will be our land without any Arabs." And this woman's wearing a bra and panties. Now, this mixture of sex and violence, it's definitely brainwashing. Now, I don't blame these girls themselves. I blame the parents, and I blame whoever brainwashed them, because I can't believe that any person would come to these conclusions by themselves to want to commit genocide against another race of people. Not regular people. People in power, people with a special interest, people who have a profit to gain out of these wars and rumors of wars and all of this. But these people, I mean, this woman, this one picture I'm looking at right now, it's a girl in a bikini. It says, "Kill Arab children so there will be no next generation." And it looks like her mother is sitting in the background. Now, this is supposed to be God's chosen people. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. God's chosen people. There's another set of tweets that has been going out where it's girls in G-strings and very scantily dressed girls with the words, "I support the IDF," written on their backsides. Now, this is something you would expect from Americans, because we're a little more liberal when it comes to these kind of things. But this is supposed to be God's chosen people. So you take a look at some of this and ask yourself, is this the way that God's chosen people are supposed to act? And if you can see just from this that this isn't godly, this isn't what the religions say, then let's take it a step further and ask yourself, is genocide against another race of people also the way that God's chosen people should be acting? And then that always brings me back to the very same question, is what God is it that these people are actually worshiping? I would say this is the synagogue of Satan. These are the Khazars who have hijacked Israel and are committing genocide in the name of the Hebrew people, but they're not Hebrews at all. This is what the Bible has deemed the synagogue of Satan. I still see a little bit of Israeli support, though, here and there. There's a lot of propaganda, for sure. And I think a lot of these comments are coming from sock puppet accounts, where you see support for these, for whatever, you know, is posted, this genocide. But how can you look at these pictures of these children and think anything but empathy for them, or feel anything but empathy for them? I saw a picture of a father holding his child, and it was a video, actually. And you can't really see what's going on until about halfway into the video, where he goes to lay down the child's body in a storage unit next to what seems like, what looks like his wife and his other sons. And the child is missing half of his head. Think about that for a moment, ladies and gentlemen. The child is missing half of his head, and the father is laying him down in a storage unit amongst all the rubble, because there's nowhere else to put the bodies. This is what those people are experiencing over there right now. And it's because of the satanic bombardment from Israel. Now, if you're not up to speed, if you haven't listened to part one and part two of this broadcast, then it's important to note that these people are trapped within three walls and an ocean. They have nowhere to go. Netanyahu gets on air and says, "Well, we give these people plenty of opportunity to leave. We send out tweets and we put it on the cell phones and we drop pamphlets, but they have nowhere to go. These people are being gassed. If they move, they get shot." There's videos out there of Israelis using Palestinian children as human shields and snipers shooting civilian people. It's completely backwards. You really need to get to the facts. We're going to take a quick break. We've got Max Egan on the other side right here on The Chris Geo Show. Don't go anywhere. has been an astonishing 5 hour block of radio, actually 7 hour block of radio at truthfrequencyradio.com. Check the Friday archives. John Waterman started off, and then that turned into a roundtable with Kev Baker. That bled on over into the Freedom Link show, and then that bled on over into Down the Rabbit Hole. And I think it's just a testament to how dedicated people at Truth Frequency Radio are to humanity. This isn't about Palestine. It's not about Hamas. It's not about anything else except for humans and humanity. And if there's a genocide, it doesn't matter who is the one committing the genocide. I'm going to stand against them. I'm going to stand for people who are being oppressed, because that's what I do. That's who Chris Geo is. That's what global resistance is all about. And global resistance is indeed turning into a global revolution. But we are really at the threshold of a huge fight, a battle like we've never seen before. And it's all being led by Israel, by Netanyahu, by these Khazars. And if anybody believes that this is anything less than ethnic cleansing, then just go do a little bit of research. Look up what Netanyahu has been saying. Look at what the Israeli parliament has been saying, that all Palestinian mothers should be killed because they give birth to snakes. Look at what the children of Israel are saying. These are the children. These are God's chosen people. These are the children of God who are saying that all Arab children should be killed so there will be no next generation. It's very disturbing. Now, Max Egan has been on the front lines. If you didn't catch the first two broadcasts, definitely go over to truthfrequencyradio.com. Check out Gaza Genocide Part 1 and Part 2. It's in the Chris Geo and Chris and Cherie Geo Truth Frequency Archives. And also tune into the Kev Baker Show, Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye, The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph. They have been covering this extensively. We've been there since the very beginning, and we're really bringing a lot of this information to light. And it's great, because I'm seeing people change their minds and change their views and realizing that this is indeed genocide. Nothing more, nothing less. It's genocide. It's disgusting. Let me bring Max Egan on with us. He's been holding for quite some time. Max, how are you doing today? Actually, Max, I think I might have something wired up incorrectly here. Let me see if I can get this situated. Max, do we have you with us?
Are you here? Can you hear me?
There you go. We can hear you now.
Okay.
I don't even know where to begin.
Did you see that picture that I was trying to send you as well while you were talking there?
No, I haven't had a chance to grab it, but let me go ahead and grab it.
It's a great illustration of what you're talking about, actually. What we're dealing with here is genocide. I mean, I called this the day they went in. I said, people, watch out. This is ethnic cleansing. You don't take 60,000 troops and a column of tanks into Gaza Strip to get rid of a few missiles and a few rockets. They said it was going to be a limited assault. They're just going in just to clean up the border and close the tunnels. You don't take 60,000 troops and a column of tanks in there to do that. I called it right from the go that this is ethnic cleansing. They intend to ethnic cleanse the entire Gaza Strip, and that's what they're doing. I've been speaking to people on the ground. They're just going crazy. They're taking out whole suburbs. They're shelling random buildings that are full of people. They're not asking anyone to leave. They're just going in there to slaughter as many people as they can. Well, the thing with the culture in Israel, like you say, everything's backwards. They keep telling us that they're defending themselves because the Arabs want every Jew dead because the Arabs hate the Jews. But when you look at the way they are killing these people with the weapons from nightmares, I mean, this is outrageous the way they're killing them. I mean, it's incredible, the absolute disregard for life. These are people who absolutely hate these Arabs with a vengeance. They are trained to hate them. It's absolutely brutal. Everything is backwards. It isn't that the Arabs hate the Jews. It's that the Jews hate the Arabs. That's the problem. Well, it's all backwards.
It is, but their whole justification for it, it seems, in the media, over here at least, is that they're targeting the tunnels. As long as they get these tunnels, then they'll get right back out of there, we promise. They just need to accept that we're going to be there destroying the tunnels.
It's ridiculous. There are no tunnels. The tunnels are all gone. There are only tunnels around Rafah border. That's the only place there were tunnels. There were not tunnels into Israel. Maybe I don't think there were any tunnels into Israel. There just weren't. The tunnels were through Rafah border, so they could get things like supplies to run the generators and stuff like this. It's ridiculous. But whatever the excuse is, this is unacceptable. They've dropped 15,000 attacks they've had, or 1,500 attacks on Gaza Strip in the last 10 days. That's 1,500 aerial assaults, 1,500 tank assaults that they've had on Gaza Strip. This is the most densely populated area on Earth, and they're hemmed in by a wall. This is absolute ethnic cleansing, and it's not acceptable. It really isn't. And we've seen the Irish government stand up. We've seen people standing up and calling this for what it is. But we've got to make noise. The strikes have got to stop, because every minute that it goes on is a disaster. Every minute that it goes on, people are being slaughtered. And the Israelis are blatantly slaughtering people. I've been on the ground. I mean, I've been talking to people on the ground. They're just taking out everything that moves. They're doing whole suburbs at a time. The bodies are coming in so fast that they can't even list the number of dead. They can't even list the number of whole families that are missing. It's complete genocide. They're giving us the figures of like 600. I would suggest the figures are actually well into their thousands. Many thousands of people have already been slaughtered. And when you look at this whole event, I mean, this makes September 11 look like a Sunday school picnic. Now, these people in September 11, tragic as it was, they died very quickly. They were right. In panic for an hour, and the building collapsed in 10 seconds, and everybody was gone.
Right, and this is going on
here. This is 1 month of absolute horror and terror, and going in there hand combat, ripping people to shreds with weapons that tear flesh from the bone. This is pure evil. Benjamin Netanyahu is the purest of all evil that has ever existed. This is absolutely unacceptable, and the world needs to pay attention.
Well, I think you nailed it. The world is paying attention. Let me ask you this. What do you make of Hillary Clinton coming out and condemning Israel for their actions? Because if you condemn Israel, at least in United States politics, it is basically
career
suicide. Exactly. Now, Hillary Clinton is one of the most evil women that walks the planet right now. Well, why would she be condemning Israel? Any thoughts on that?
Can she get away with it?
There is a huge public outcry of what's going on. Israel's done this too blatantly, too quickly. They've overstepped the mark. This will go very, very badly for them. It's going to backfire. It's not going to do what they thought it was going to do. They're not going to get away. When the plane crashes, it doesn't matter how many planes they shoot down. It doesn't matter how many fake invasions and fake conflicts in Ukraine they try to escalate into World War II or World War III, which won't happen. Yeah, it's going to go badly for them.
Absolutely. Max, hold right there. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Don't go anywhere. Much more right here on The Chris Geo Show. You know, we talk about MKUltra programming and brainwashing that takes place here in the United States through the television. We just had Jamie Fly, Freeman's significant other, on the broadcast last week talking about Disney mind control programming. But the programming that goes on in Israel, at least from the pictures and the videos that I've been seeing, is chilling to the very soul. Not to the bone, to the very soul. Max just sent a picture over of children holding rocket launchers and training to kill Arabs. I've also seen pictures of Israeli children riding on bombs, love from Israel, and other horrific things like that. Now, again, I can't blame these children. I have to blame the parents that are doing this. There is one video that's very chilling. And, you know, I do want to make the distinction, too. It's very important to remember that we are dealing with an information war. at least in the Western fronts. And so there is an element of propaganda out there, and it's important to distinguish what is propaganda and what is not. But when you see a video of a Palestinian boy who has been captured in a cell, and the parents are torturing this Palestinian child who's not any more than 9 or 10 years old, and then encouraging an Israeli child of the same age to beat and torture this child, you can't say that that's propaganda. That is a real situation that is taking place. This is the mentality of these people. Again, I don't want to blame the children. I don't want to blame these deluded teenage girls who are posting half-naked pictures of themselves with horrible things related to ethnic cleansing and their hate for, or their anti-Semitism. That's exactly what it is. Because if you look up the definition of a Semite, it is somebody of Hebrew or, this is what they don't tell you, you have to look it up for yourself, or Arab descent, coming from an Arabic-speaking region. That is the definition of a Semite. If these people are indeed Khazars, as we've talked about in the past, and I'm 99.999% sure that these people are not Hebrew lineage. They are Caucasians, leading back to the British monarchy. They are the biggest anti-Semites that ever existed, or that exist right now on planet Earth. Max Egan, what's going on with these children?
Yeah, it's very deep programming that they have. I mean, it's very obvious. I've got a little bit of an echo coming back there, Chris.
Okay, if you keep good now. Yeah, keep talking, it'll resolve itself.
Yeah, but it is very, very deep programming. That's the thing, that they are literally trained to hate Palestinians and to hate Arabs. And it is very anti-Semitic behavior, as you say. There's actually an interesting quote by Martin Buber of the Hebrew University. He said, "Bring me a Palestinian Christian from Galilee and I will show you the purest Jewish blood on earth." Mm-hmm. And that's the problem, you see. And that's why they wish so hard to wipe out the Palestinian people. And you've got to understand that everything is backwards. Everything that they tell you is backwards. The Arabs don't hate the Jews. The Jews hate the Arabs, or the Israelis hate the Arabs anyway. Actually, like the Semitic Jews in Israel don't hate the Arabs. The Semitic Jews got along with them fine. The Semitic Jews in Israel are actually the most downtrodden people in all of Israel. That's the problem. And just to continue the question before we move on, when you said, why would Hillary Clinton be supporting this? Well, there's a huge groundswell, a huge, huge groundswell of people who are very much against what Israel is doing, regardless of whether our governments are supporting it or not. And Hillary's going up for votes soon. She's going up for elections soon. She needs to appear like a humanitarian, doesn't she? So that would be why she's calling this out. It'd be good for votes, because there is a huge groundswell with the public, let alone whether the government's supporting or not. So it's a good career move for her to do that. I doubt that she really cares. You know, she's a very sadistic woman. But getting back to Israel and the Palestinian situation, everything you told about them is backwards. As I've often told people, I actually went into Gaza Strip in 2012. I got detained by Hamas, this vicious terrorist organization. They questioned me for 5 hours, gave me tea and bickies while they questioned me. They lost their luggage while they were questioning me, and so they were scared. And also, they delayed us for 5 hours, and it was starting to get dark, so they were worried that we may get hurt when we crossed the Sinai. So the head of Hamas Border Security provided a driver for us to get us back to Cairo, and then they found our luggage, and they sent our luggage onto Cairo with another driver and had it delivered to us at our hotel. So this is my experience with Hamas. And all of the Palestinian people that I met in there were the most beautiful people I've ever met. And they were desperate for people to pay attention to them. You've got to understand, I entered this country illegally. No one knew I was going in. I ran around the streets with a video camera. I got on the streets. I went up to the Ministry of Detainees and interviewed people. I went up to the university and gave a talk at the university. All sorts of stuff. I went and built a schoolroom for some children with Ken O'Keefe. So there's all sorts of things that I did in there. And if you broke into any other country, if I entered Israel illegally and started running around the country with a video camera, I'd probably still be in jail. So you know, things are not what you're told. People have to understand this. The whole story they've been told about the Palestinian people is a lie. And the real perpetrators of evil here is the state of Israel. It absolutely is. As you said, it is the most anti-Semitic organization on earth. and it's going out of its way to kill all of the Semitic people around it. And when you look at the weapons they are using for this slaughter, this is a pure hatred for life that we're seeing here. And we've got to pay attention to this, because if we don't, as I keep saying, the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. We really, really, this isn't just an assault against the Palestinian people. This is assault against humanity itself. And we need to pay attention to that. Yeah, we've got to stand for these people, Chris. They're in there being slaughtered. Like I said, every minute that they are not, that this goes on is a disaster for them. And the only people who can save them is us. There has to be public outcry. We've got to make lots and lots of noise to stop this. And as soon as it stops, I've got a team ready to go straight in there. With one, there will be teams from all countries. There are so many people just ready to go straight in there and rescue the people that are left. And if we don't, there will be no survivors from this assault on Gaza Strip. There was never meant to be any survivors. It's been a planned, methodical, ethnic cleansing right from the very beginning. That's exactly what I said when I saw them go in. As I said, you do not take 60,000 troops and a column of tanks into Gaza Strip to clean out a few tunnels.
Right. Well, if they have agreed to a 12-hour window, so that's good. I mean, but it's not great. We need a completely unending ceasefire. That's what we need. But it doesn't look like we're going to get that for a while. How long do you think this is going
to
last?
Well, let me jump in for just a moment, because they've had ceasefires and they continue to fire even during the ceasefire. So it really means nothing.
No, it doesn't mean it means they stop the aerial bombardments and the tank shelling. But the soldiers are still walking around shooting everything that moves. And like you say, they're telling the people, we're giving them a warning to leave their home, but they can't go anywhere. There are no safe places. They have a 50-foot wall around the entire country. That's the problem. It's like shooting fish in a barrel. And these are civilians. These are absolutely traumatized civilians. They've been living without proper food and water for so long, and now they're in they've dropped 1,500 strikes on there, like about 1,500 tons or 2,000 tons of bombs on this place in 10 days. This is unbelievable what is going on here. It is an absolute outrage. It is a holocaust of epic proportions, and we have to stop this. The world should be outraged. I can't imagine why anybody is thinking about anything else than what is happening in Gaza Strip, because we have to pay attention to this. This cannot be allowed to continue.
Absolutely. Max, we're coming up to another break, but we've got a couple of callers on the line. I want to go to some callers right on the other side. We usually don't take calls during the show, but in this particular case, if you'd like to call in, 866-37-TRUTH, that's 866-37-TRUTH. I do want to ask all the callers, though, please keep it on topic. If it starts to go off topic, then we have to move on, because this is a very, very serious situation. We're going to get to the bottom of it. We're going to offer some solutions as well. We'll be right back. Truth is the call-in number. We're talking about Gaza. We're talking about the genocide. We may get a few callers that are pro-Israel. And if you are, I'd like to hear why. But I do want to ask that all the callers, please keep it on topic, on the topic of the Gaza and Israel conflict that's going on right now. We've got Max Egan on the line with us, of course. Let's go to area code 559. You are on the air. What is your name? And welcome to the show. Area code 559, are you there? Nope. All right, let's go to area code 505. You are on the air, and what is your name?
Richard?
Richard.
Can you hear me?
Yes, hi, there you are. How are you doing, Richard?
I was just wondering if you think that the recent discovery of trillions of cubic feet of natural gas and billions of barrels of oil off the coast of Gaza could influencing the situation.
Max Egan, do you want to take
ten
that one?
10 points, Richard.
I mean,
ten points, brother. Yes. Absolutely, it is. This is why Egypt is keeping the border closed, I would suspect. This is why Egypt is on the deal as well. If you look at the maritime boundaries of that particular piece of ocean, you'll find out, I think, some of that's actually in Egypt's boundaries as well. So they'll probably be getting a little cut out of that. So that's why they're turning a blind eye to this massacre, I would suggest.
Well, I agree wholeheartedly, and I appreciate you drawing attention to this. This whole situation is upsetting me, and I'm a regular Truth Frequency Radio listener. And I sure appreciate all the attention you've done. I just don't know what I can do. I am going to make a vain attempt to make it somewhat of a difference by calling my congressman, you know, the billions of dollars we sent to Israel. At least let one guy out in New Mexico, let him know that how horrible I think it is that America keeps supporting us. And, of course, our press and all the propaganda and the stuff that they don't, you know,
well,
they
yeah.
don't tell
it's,
us
what's it's going important
on.
That we do. It's important that we do this. It really is, Richard. It's important that we all contact our politicians and we use the right wording and say, look, we do not support this ethnic cleansing of the Gaza Strip, because that is what it is. It's outright ethnic cleansing, and it's important that we put pressure as we can on all of our politicians.
Well, thank you very much for taking that call.
Absolutely, Richard. You know what we can do, in my opinion, is we can all get on the internet and start combating a lot of the propaganda that we see, change people's opinions and minds here in the West. And that's very important because, as Max said, if there's more public outcry, and there will be public outcry, and that will cause pressure upon politicians through public outcry, and then Israel will have to be put in its place eventually. However, Max, you know what I'm afraid of is that's exactly what they're trying to provoke. That's what their doctrines say, that in the end times, everyone will turn against Israel and all of the Jews need to return to Israel because there will be a worldwide hatred against them, and that brings in World War III.
That's exactly what they're trying to do. They're running through the Revelation script. And an important thing that people need to think about when they consider this situation, if you are an American Christian, and there are a lot of Christians in America, and a lot of the Christians really do believe in the second coming, and so do the people who are in control of Israel at the moment, that these people, as you said, these are not true Jews, these are Khazars, and they are very anti-Semitic people. The quote that I made earlier from Martin Buber, when he said that, bring me a Palestinian Christian from Galilee and I will show you the purest Jewish blood on the planet, is a very, very important quote, because if you look at what actually happened around the time of Christ, Jesus was a Palestinian born in Galilee. Jerusalem, you know, like the Holy Land, Israel, existed within Palestine. It always existed within Palestine. It was part of Palestine. Jesus was a Palestinian. And if Jesus comes again, if there is a second coming, it's very likely that he will also be a Palestinian. And he's been born already. Maybe he's even in Gaza Strip right now. Who knows? But this attack is very, very interesting. And their need to wipe out all of the Semitic people around them is very, very telling. And you can tell what these people are doing. And they've revealed themselves with this attack. I think it's going to go very, very badly for Israel as far as public support goes. All we have to do is try not to turn it into the war that they want, because that's what they're pushing for, is this war. And the fact that they're shooting down planes and all of this sort of stuff, which I would suggest is all to distract from what's going on in Gaza. I mean, all of these events, you've got to, qui bono, who benefits from this? Who benefits from that plane being shot down over the Ukraine? Was it Putin? Was it the Ukrainian rebels? Who benefits from that plane being shot down? Well, the whole world looks at the plane and they don't look at what Israel is doing, which is ethnically cleansing the Gaza Strip. But hang on, there are still a few people listening. So now suddenly a plane goes down in Africa as well, and yet they're still cleansing the Gaza Strip. I think that the only people who benefit from all of these events is the state of Israel in this ethnic cleansing of the Gaza Strip. And we've got to pay attention to it. We've got to stop it. We cannot allow this to continue. We need to go in there. It needs to stop right now. There used to be outrage. The whole world needs to stand up and be outraged at this event and stop the bombings, stop the shellings right now, and Israel's troops need to leave. And they could get out of Gaza Strip in one day. It doesn't need to be a week-long withdrawal, because in a week-long, thousands upon thousands upon thousands more people will die. If we leave it another week, it's possibly that everybody will be dead in Gaza Strip, because that's what they want. Israel would like to kill everybody. They want no survivors from this event because they don't want any witnesses to their crimes. That's why they've knocked out the water supply. They're shelling all the hospitals. They're shelling all the ambulances. They've cut off all the food, all the water. Even if they stop bombing now, if aid does not get to these people very, very quickly, they will not last very long. I mean, there's bodies everywhere. The body count would be in the thousands. There would be body parts and pieces everywhere. So there would be disease, dysentery, cholera. I mean, the place will be absolutely a disaster zone like we've never, ever seen before. You know, this is a city. This is a city area. You know, urban areas. This isn't, you know, wide open fields. This is dense rubble and buildings and bombed to pieces. 1.8 million people. Right. This is going to be a disaster and a genocide and a massacre like the world has never seen if we don't step in. And it's going to take global outrage. I've been pushing it for 20 days. I've been screaming for people to wake up. This is what they're going to do. They're going to ethnically cleanse the Gaza Strip. I called it even before the troops went in. And I've been, it's so good to see people now finally realizing this is what's going on. But I still have friends on the ground in Gaza, people that are still alive, that are still getting information out to me, and they're saying that they've never seen anything like it. It's beyond imagining what they're going through, these people. We have to pay attention. This is the most important issue we've faced since 9/11. It's incredibly important. The whole world has stepped up to a new level. You know, it's a new playing field now. They've shifted the goalposts, you know. And it's interesting. Like, I've got to go and speak in Europe. I've got to go speak in the Boom Festival in Portugal. And the people have said to me, what's your talk going to be about? And I said, well, my talk's going to be about Gaza Strip. And they said, oh, that's not really acceptable. I said, what do you mean it's not acceptable? Well, it's not what we booked you for. And I said, well, when you booked me, I didn't know that Israel was going to ethnically cleanse the Gaza Strip and attempt to start World War III. You've booked me to come and speak the truth, I thought, and this is what the focus of my talk will be. It will be on Gaza Strip. I'll keep it philosophical. I'll make it about my story of how I got here and how I came to these conclusions, but a lot of the talk will be on Gaza Strip, and I will be naming Israel. I will be calling Israel out for its war crimes in this matter. And they said, well, no, there's a heavy Israeli presence here. It's not acceptable for you to do that. And I said, well, that's just what I'll be doing. And they're very, very concerned about me speaking of Boone. They're actually trying to say, well, if you're going to do that, then we won't let you talk. And I'm saying, well, you have to make the decision whether you want me to talk or not, because that's what I'll be talking about. But it's interesting how much people are willing to look away from this event. I think this has been a huge litmus test. It really has. It's really separated the wheat from the chaff, and it's good to see Truth Frequency carrying the banner for the Palestinian people.
It's not for the Palestinian people, though, Max. It's for humanity. Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about.
Well, it is.
It is. That's the point. Yes, we have to remember, because if we allow ethnic cleansing and genocide to happen in one part of the world, it's only a matter of time before it creeps up into our countries as well. And that's why every American, every European, every African, every Australian, everybody has to stand up against these atrocities. We've got several callers on the line. We're going to get to them in the next hour of the broadcast. Don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. We've got much more coming up for you right here on the Chris Geo Show. We'll see you in just a moment.
One choice to survive. They want to externally manipulate the body computer so it doesn't pick up these truth vibrations, these higher levels of awareness that are coming in so fast now. It's all visible, like mind control techniques employed in the mainstream media.
And by perpetuating that fear and maintaining that throughout every level of society, it becomes really difficult to actually break through to people, to actually get them to see that they can find this love and this higher consciousness within themselves.
And this often helps a lot, because some of the most elusive mysteries you're not able to apprehend them directly. You can only apprehend them by negation, as to finding out what they're not.
Broadcasting worldwide from an undisclosed location high up on the Rocky Mountains, here are your hosts, Chris and Cherie Geo.
866-37-TRUTH is the call-in number, hour number two, right here on the Chris Geo Show. We've got Max Egan on for another hour, maybe another 2 hours. Of course, we do the extended broadcast over at truthfrequencyradio.com, commercial-free for the third hour of the broadcast. We've got a few callers on the line. They've been holding for quite some time, so I want to go straight to them. Area code 217 is on the line with us. Welcome to the show, and what is your name?
Hello, I'm Callow.
Hey, welcome to the show. What's on your mind tonight?
Oh, thanks. Max, I've been listening to you for several years. I really appreciate that you're always a consistent voice of sanity.
Well, thank you very much. Also, I appreciate that.
I wanted to mention, a few years ago, I interviewed a breakdance troupe from Palestine. Their name is Camps Breakers, and I was just really blown away by these people's spirit. And I'm still in touch with many of them, and I'm also extremely concerned about what's going on right now. In fact, I have been... even though I don't see my representatives as legitimate in any sense of the word, I have been almost to the point of harassing them, emailing them and calling them, and telling them that this is not only war crimes that are going on, with American tax money, that it's funding this, but that if they don't, stop this, they may find themselves being, under charges of funding war crimes.
Absolutely. That's what you should do.
Yeah.
Everybody should do that. I actually posted on my Prime Minister's wall that if he does not stand and stand up to stop this, I will ensure that he is prosecuted as being complicit in war crimes. Because this is blatant ethnic cleansing. There's no doubting that. There's no denying it. And we all need to take that approach.
Yeah,
let them know that we know what it is, and if they don't act, we will hold them as complicit.
Also, I just actually before the show started, I was actually just listening to your show that you just did with Vinny. So I actually stopped listening to that because that was on YouTube, and I started listening to this live show here. And you were talking about getting like 1,000 or 2,000 people together and going over there, which I think would be a great idea. I'm gonna choose smart carefully here because of keywords and I don't want to bring more trouble on myself than I have to. But Tesla designed some things that might come in handy in a situation like that.
Yeah.
When
I did that show with Vinny, I don't know when he posted it. That was when the Grand Invasion just was about to go ahead. I'm not sure if it had started or if it was just about to go ahead. And I wanted to go in there with as many people who were ready as possible, all the supporters we could find, go in there and act as human shields to prevent Israel from doing what it's doing, get a huge international force in there just to stop it. because obviously there was no political solution, so let's just go in and stop it ourselves. But unfortunately, having started, I started a group called Gaza Shield. You can actually go to GazaShield.com, and I've had a lot of people sign up that want to come to Gaza with me to act as shields. But unfortunately, like I started coordinating with the International Solidarity Movement and the Palestinian Solidarity Movement, and one of these groups actually sent human shields in, and Israel just mowed them all down, didn't care. And if you look at the outline for this invasion that they've given, and I've got that on my website, thecrowhouse.com, you can go there and you can click a link in the headlines, which says a manifesto for the planned ethnic cleansing of Gaza Strip. And it refers to a newspaper article. That isn't the name of the article. That's the article that I gave, the article that I wrote about it, which I included their article in. So you can read their article, and it shows that they're going to give no quarter. They don't care about human shields. They're just going to go in and use every means possible to retake and completely conquer the Gaza Strip. That's what it says in that manifesto. So with the human shield operation now, there's nothing we can do. Well, there's nothing we can do with this human shield operation until there's a ceasefire. But as soon as there's a ceasefire, I've got people that want to go in. And if anybody does want to go in, they can sign up at that GazaShield.com. I want to do a fundraiser for it as well, but I'm not going to start that yet until I know there's going to be people left alive. Because if they don't cease fire and they go through the strip the way they're doing it, there will be no survivors. And this is the problem. Yeah. This is what people aren't seeing. And when you listen to like that ad that Benjamin Netanyahu just did, saying, you know, we're telling people to leave their homes and to go and be safe. We're sending them, you're calling them, telling them to leave their homes and go. But Hamas is saying, no, don't leave their homes. So it's Hamas. And what he's basically saying is, well, basically, we're just going in and killing everybody who's in their homes. We're killing anybody who stays in their homes, right? Because they must be Hamas, because they didn't leave. But there's nowhere for them to go. They're trapped by a wall. And if they go out into the desert, I've actually got a last text that was sent by a 20-year-old who went out into the desert with a whole group of people to be safe. And then he said, they're dropping gas bombs on us. This gas smells funny. Does anybody know what it is? And that was the last we heard of them. So when they go to the desert, they're gassing them. Plus the people can't leave their homes because the streets are full of soldiers that shoot anything that moves. So where are these people to go? There is nowhere for them to go. This is a planned ethnic cleansing, and it has been from the very start.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with your viewpoint on that. I appreciate that. I really enjoy seeing your posts to Netanyahu on Facebook. That's always entertaining. But
it was a way for me getting my anger out. At that stage, I was in utter despair. When it started and seeing the weapons I was using and knowing that I have friends in there, it was the only outlet that I had. I thank everybody for putting up with that. I got rather abusive to Mr. Yahoo, Mr. Netanyahu, but I think he deserves it. But that was the only thing I had. I literally didn't sleep for 8 days, 9 days when it first started. I was in tears for the whole time. I simply could not stop sobbing and crying because I know how gentle and beautiful these people are. I've been in there. I've been with these people. They are nothing like what they say. And this is another thing about it all being backwards, isn't it? He's there going, these brutal terrorists. And here we have God's chosen going in and carrying out a massacre of the most brutal terrorism in the history of the world against these gentle people. This is the worst terrorism imaginable with these weapons that they're using and the abuse and terror that they're inflicting on these people. This is absolute, utter, unadulterated, pure terrorism and pure evil. And they're the ones crying victim and saying they're stomping on the brutal terrorists. It's all backwards, you know.
Let's take this quick break. We'll be right back. We'll bring the caller back on the line if he's got any more comments. And, of course, 866-37-TRUTH. If you want to call and get your opinion on the record with Mr. Max Egan, we'll see you in just a moment right here on The Chris Geo Show. We're just flying through the broadcast here. I'm really amazed at how this broadcast is just taking its own course. And, of course, with great callers, 866-37-TRUTH, if you want to call and get your opinion on the broadcast with Mr. Max Egan. And it's really, my heart is very, very heavy. As a matter of fact, Katie Galanti, who is one of our guides and healers and psychics who we correspond with, she's listening to the broadcast right now. And I'm tapped into this Gaza energy, as is Max. Now, this is something that Katie does on a regular basis. So I can only imagine how she's feeling in a situation like this. And, you know, I'd love to get her take on it sometime in a future broadcast. But this is really the dark, dark, dark energies. And this is really what we're all amassing together for to combat. We knew that this was coming. We knew that this global revolution, the global resistance, was turning into a global revolution. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen. It's spiritual attacks. It's physical attacks. It is attacks on every single front. And now's the time when we have to stay united. And let's go back to the caller. And anything else on your mind, sir?
Well, yeah, I just wanted to kind of just before I hang up, I just wanted to put the seed out there. I don't think we should probably discuss it in depth, but there are some Tesla devices that might come in very handy in that situation.
Let's talk about them, because, you know, our motto here at Truth Frequency is no hate, no hype, no fear. We really have no fear when it comes to these kind of things. If you're comfortable talking about it, please, by all means, because we have no hang-ups at all.
I'm honestly concerned about if I go too much into detail about not even being allowed on an airplane. I mean, that's kind of... I don't like to get to be that afraid about it, but
fair enough.
That's all I really want to say. I think if you look up, you know, Tesla, and he had some devices that might be superior to the what's being used against the Palestinians. That's all I want to say. Other people out there might know, and might. I just want to spur some people's brains thinking a little bit. That's all.
Fantastic. Thank you for the call. Definitely. Max, I'm not sure what devices the caller was speaking of. Any thoughts? I haven't looked into Tesla's work too much. I admit that.
Well, there's all sorts of possibilities. I think he should probably email me through the Crow House and give me a contact. I'll email him back and we can discuss it further.
Okay. Fantastic. And it looks like we have a Skype caller on the line with us. It's just showing up as 661, so I'm not sure what the who the caller is, but you're on the air. The caller calling in on Skype. You're on the air. Going once, going twice. All right. 866-37-TRUTH if you want to call in. Now, Max, where do you see this whole conflict going? Of course, we have the genocide happening with the Palestinians right now. And this is definitely the first step. And this is what I was telling you earlier, too. This is the first battle of a war that I predict is going to last for decades. I mean, we saw the war in Iraq and Afghanistan lasting literally for a decade now, over a decade. I mean, when did that start? In 2003? And it's 2014 right now. And I remember when we first went over there, they said, oh, it's going to be a two-month conflict and that's it. And we're going to get the oil and the oil is going to pay for it all. And that's that. We haven't left. I think that this is the beginning of something huge. This is the revelations, endgame, Armageddon, however you want to describe it.
Well, yeah, when you say you think this war is going to last for a while, what war are you referring to? Where are you seeing the stage for this war?
I see
in
this.
Gaza?
No, not in Gaza. I see this spreading throughout the entire world, unfortunately. World War III, exactly. They've been trying to provoke Putin and Russia, and I think that's what this whole airliner was about, to try to provoke him or at least destabilize Russia, at least even if it's just a psychological attack against them, in order to prevent them from maybe backing Iran, which I think Iran is playing a key in this situation. And with the backing of Russia and China, Iran may actually step into the conflict without their backing. I don't see Iran doing that, but I don't know where this end game is going, but I do see World War III in our midst.
All world is a stage, Chris. World War III has been waged for a long time. It's been ongoing for a long time. World War III is a war of the controlling hand, the rulers, the elite, if you will, against the people. It's a culling of the population. All the rest of it is theater. All this posturing between Russia and this and that, it's all theater. What's going on here is they're culling the population. The first battle in Gaza is the first cull. What they're doing here, the rhetoric that they're using, we can't allow terrorists to believe that they can hide in civilian populations, okay? This is not moral to allow terrorists to hide in a civilian population. The moral thing to do is to destroy the civilian population because of the terrorist that's hiding there. This is the precedent that this is setting. So what I've been telling people, there's no good building alternate communities, because if you stand against the government, they will come and kill you because you're a terrorist, and they will kill your entire community because it's the moral thing to do. This is what they are showing you. All of the rest of it is a distraction. This is a war against the people. It's a war against you, a war against your children, every single man, woman, and child on earth. The state of Israel is just the tool that is carrying out this war. It's a global genocide that's going to ensue from this if we allow this to continue in Palestine. Forget all of the boundaries and the posturing between countries. It's theater for the masses. It's completely irrelevant. What is going on? Who dies in these wars anyway? Even if we go to war with Russia, who is it? It's your children who die. That's just the theater of conflict that they use to kill them. The leaders don't go and do this. They just pump at the strings. We'll create another conflict here, another conflict there. It doesn't matter as long as we kill lots of people, because we want to reduce the population to 500 million by any means possible. So we need to set new precedents of how to do that. And that's what this genocide in Gaza is. This is why people need to pay attention to what's actually going on here. Step back and look at the bigger picture of what this massacre says. What does it say? What does it say about the new moral standard of Western society to see this occur in 2014 by a member of G8? That is the important thing to understand, because if we don't pay attention, the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. I keep saying it, and people need to pay attention. This is not an assault against Palestine. It's an assault against humanity, and everything that's going on around it is theater. It's all just different theaters of conflict, stuff that they use to keep you in fear.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Truth. This is the Truth Frequency. We're live with Max Egan. Taking your calls, we've got area code 661 on the line with us. Let's go to area code 661. Welcome to the show, and what is your name? 866-661, going once, going twice. Sorry, you'll have to call back. Max, you posted an urgent press release at truthfrequencyradio.com in regards to one of the hospitals. I want to get into that here in just a moment, but I do want to ask you, because this seems, and I know the answer to this, of course. I want to put this on the broadcast, on the record, and get this out to the audience and get this through their heads that what Israel is doing is committing war crimes. This isn't just a war that's being waged against the Palestinian people. This is war crimes. They're bombing hospitals. They're bombing schools. They're bombing everything. How is it that they're getting away with this? And why isn't the UN or anybody else stepping in your opinion?
Well, you know, Israel, it's very hard to get information out. Israel just keeps jumping around and saying, no, we're not doing anything. We're doing everything we can. So look, they're sending their messages to get out of their homes and to run and to leave, but they're not leaving. So we're killing them all because they're not leaving their homes. And we're justified to do this because there may be a terrorist inside. That's basically what they're doing. And the world's just sitting back and letting it happen. A lot of the machine that's there to do this and to put it in place and to put this whole control grid in place, I mean, it's there, but it's been a gradual process. I think with Benjamin Netanyahu, he's simply a blood-crazed psychopath. And through the education system, like with those photos that I showed you of those children learning how to use automatic weapons, and these are very devastating weapons these kids are playing with at very young ages and being trained to hate Arabs, and with people writing love from Israel on bombs, with, you know, 6 and 8 year old children. This is a sociopathic and psychopathic mentality that's been bred into these people. So over the last century, or a few decades since Israel has been formed, this is the way the culture has changed. It hasn't been any sort of idea of getting along with these people. It's been designed to breed an absolute hatred towards all who are Arabic. And they're just going in there with absolute hatred, wanting to slaughter these people in the most brutal way possible. That's what we're seeing here, you know. And Benjamin Netanyahu, I mean, he's a full-blown psychopath, and he's just overstepped the mark. He just can't wait. He's just in bloodlust. He cannot wait to start killing people. He just wants to get it done, you know. And everybody else is going, well, hang on a minute, you're overstepping the mark a little bit here, and this isn't kind of the way we had planned it. You know, it isn't cool to do this. People are going to notice that we may not have their best interests at heart, you know. So, I mean, and there could be a global revolution over this, and I hope there is. I hope there is, because every leader that has knocked in to this point is complicit in this. This is a war crime. This is a huge, huge war crime that is happening right now, right in front of everybody's eyes, and everybody's just looking away. It's not acceptable. And every country that is supporting it is complicit in this war crime. And this sets a very dangerous standard for all of our countries. It does, because this says that a Western country is able to use utter brutality against civilian women and children in any situation simply because they think there is a terrorist in amongst them. And this is a very, very dangerous standard to be setting. This level of brutality has never been seen before by a Western country, not so openly and brutally and blatantly. As what we're seeing here, you know, a population hemmed in by a wall that's been kept in outrageously poor conditions for 7 years. They've been denied the basic necessities of life for 7 years, these people. And they're forced now to suffer this. As was said by Claire Daly from the Irish government, this is the equivalent of the world championship boxer having a fight with a newborn baby. That's what we're witnessing here. And that's really the only comparison that we can make.
I couldn't have said it better myself. It's really chilling. You know, let's go back to the history. I don't know how up to date you are, or how researched you are, I should say, with the history of Palestine. But can you take us to the beginning, pre-1947?
Well, pre-1947, it was a peaceful nation. Jews lived in Palestine in peace with the Arabs. They babysitted each other's children. There was no problem. Even in Gaza Strip now, it's quite a large Christian population in Gaza Strip. It isn't just Muslims. It's quite a large Christian population. There's one building. There's a mosque on one side and a church on the other. It's a building on the corner. You walk in the one door at the front, you walk down the left aisle to get to the mosque and the right aisle to the church, and they pray together. So there is no animosity between the Muslims and the Christians in Gaza. Never has been. And there never was anywhere in Palestine before the Europeans came down and settled the place and started doing what they're doing. And what's been happening since the borders and the division happened in 1947, 1948, the UN division, I mean, the borders that they created were never designed to work. Absolutely not. They gave all of the fertile land to the Israel, and or most of the fertile land to Israel. They gave 60% of the land to Israel, and Israel made up a much smaller percentage of the population than the Palestinians. And they ethnically cleansed about 4,000 Palestinian villages to do this. When the Israel was formed, they basically set about ethnically cleansing all of the Palestinians that were there. And then ever since that day, they've gradually been stealing land through the divine right that it's their land because God gave it to them. So they basically just walk onto Palestinian land, dispossess them, and create a Jewish settlement and say, now it's part of Israel. And they tell the families to just move on. And this has been going on for 66 years, and these people have been slowly dispossessed and had their land stolen from them for 66 years. They've lived under a brutal Israeli occupation. And now it's got to the point where there's these tiny little slivers of Palestine left, and there's been a huge gas and oil field discovered just off Gaza Strip. So Israel is just consolidating its complete takeover of Palestine. Now all of Palestine will be Israel, and an entire nation of people has been dispossessed over the last 66 years. And if you look at the history that has been set up in Israel, the problem is that the people in Israel honestly believe that the land is theirs and that these Arabs are basically squatting on their land, and there was never ever a country called Palestine, because that's what they've been taught to believe through the education system. That's how twisted and psychotic this whole thing is. Like I said, everything is backwards. And that's the way they do it. And if you question any of this, you're classed as being anti-Semitic. It's amazing. It's the most clever setup that you can imagine. But really, the people that they are cleansing right now in Palestine are the Semitic people of the land. And the ones who are running Israel are not.
Here's the big question, and I don't know if you can touch upon this or not, but does Israel have a right to exist? Because that's their mantra right now. Israel has a right to exist. Israel has a right to be a Jewish state, et cetera, et cetera. I would say no, they don't. They stole that land. That land was given to them by the UN or whatever organization it was that made that treaty. I don't remember what the treaty is called, but it starts
Versailles?
With a B. Yeah, yeah. And it was stolen land. I mean, somebody lived there before and they took this. So I would say no, they don't have a right to exist, especially when they show such a disregard for human life.
I've never seen such a brutal disregard for life. I've never seen such brutal terrorism meted out by a so-called democratic nation. And you ask me if the modern state of Israel has a right to exist. Well, I'd point, there's a country called Bahrain. You know, you can't get into Bahrain if you've got an Israeli stamp on your passport, because they say, well, you've got a stamp on your passport from a country that doesn't exist, therefore your passport must not exist, so you can't enter our country.
Wow, I did not know that. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. Much more with Max Egan. I want him to elaborate a little bit on that, because I've never heard that before. That's great information. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Final segment of the hour. We've got another jam-packed hour for you at truthfrequencyradio.com, commercial-free. Hopefully, Max Egan will stick around with us for the commercial-free hour as well, because that's when we can really get in-depth on the information. Does Israel have a right to exist? I would say no. And as Max pointed out before, there's a country, Bahrain. Is that the country that you mentioned, Max? Yeah. Bahrain, that doesn't allow Israel or people with Israeli passports to enter because they don't recognize Israel as being a country or as being a state. Now, Max, some people would say, though, that that is the root of the conflict right there, which is the Arab nations not recognizing Israel as a sovereign country. What would happen if the Arabs all just said, okay, Israel, you can exist, you have to exist within these compounds, et cetera, et cetera? I think personally Israel wouldn't play ball. They might agree to it, but everything that they've signed, everything that they've agreed to has just been thrown out the window, just like our Constitution here in the United States.
Well, yeah, the thing is, I'm dropping out. I've lost you. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're still coming through loud and clear.
Okay, I couldn't hear what you said then, but yeah, I mean, it exists on a stolen country. That's the problem. Israel always existed within the Holy Land. I mean, it existed within Palestine. Israel was the Holy Land that existed within Palestine. There's a great book that people should read by a man called Shlomo Sand, and he put out a book called The Invention of the Land of Israel, From Homeland or From Holy Land to Homeland. And he put out another book as well called The Invention of the Jewish People. These are two very, very important books, and I suggest everybody read them to really understand what this conflict is about, okay? And it wasn't just that Bahrain won't let you in if you've got an Israeli passport. If you come from any country and you've been to Israel and you have an Israeli stamp on your passport, they will say, well, your passport has a stamp in it from a country that doesn't exist, so it must be a toy passport. Your passport doesn't exist, so you can't come into a country that doesn't exist. This isn't a fantasy world, you know. That's the attitude. So if you've been to Israel and you use that passport, you can't enter Bahrain. It's as simple as that. And I think Canada never used to recognize Israeli passports as well. I don't know if they do now, but I don't think they recognized Israeli passports. So there were a few countries that were standing up for this and have been for a long time. But basically, it has been land theft. The problem is that they're embedded now. They're embedded like a tick. And they've openly said they've got the Samson option, and they've got missiles trained on every country on Earth. And basically, they'll do what they want to do, and they'll do it, and the world will let them, because if they don't, then they'll blow up the world. And that's basically what they've said. And when you look at the problem that we've got here, really, it's the education of the people. Like I said, they'll never leave Israel, and they'll never agree to it not having a right to exist, because they've been trained to believe it's their country. It's always been their country. They were expelled they were terribly persecuted and sent to wander around Europe for all eternity, and now they've got their country back, you know. And they firmly believe that they've got a right to it, and that these Arabs are the terrible thieves that are trying to wipe them out. That all the Arabs have ever wanted to do is kill all the Jews. That's what they believe, which is completely wrong. It's just what they've been trained to believe. But you can't argue it with them, because they've got libraries of reference books that back all this up, that they all wrote themselves. It's an amazing thing. It's the most incredible brainwashing that I've ever seen, or what this whole Israeli system is. It's quite amazing, really, to look at it. It's a completely different history to the history that everybody else knows. But because these people are embedded all around the world, these Khazars, well, they just basically control everything. You know? They're absolutely the most powerful force on the earth. And it's a huge threat to global stability, and it's a huge threat to freedom of expression and to a free humanity. I mean, when you see the brutality that's being unleashed in Gaza, here it is, folks. This is unbelievable, the brutality that they're using against these people, the sheer wanton slaughter with the weapons of nightmares. These weapons, I mean, you'd have to be a psychopath to even invent these weapons. Why on earth would you invent a weapon that literally tears the flesh from your bone, you know, and leaves you there in utter agony? Weapons that send thousands of tiny little darts into you and just riddle you and kill you in the most painful way possible, in a way that you can never, ever be healed from, because there's so many hundreds of these little darts in you. But, you know, it's just so painful. You're just lying there and bleeding out in horrible pain in every single fiber of your body. I mean, why would you invent a weapon like that? It's not normal. It's not human. You've got to wonder where this mentality and where this culture comes from. It's simply not human.
This is
what
the dime
we are witnessing in Gaza. This is not human. These are not the acts. This is not the act of a sane mind. It's shocking. It's beyond description what we're witnessing in Gaza. It's pure psychopathy. It's pure evil.
And this is the dime ammunition that you're referring to.
The dime ammunition, the flashe bombs, the dime ammunition is horrendous, man. It's absolutely horrendous. Micro shrapnel that literally shreds the flesh from your body and bears your skin down to the bone. They're seeing children with injuries that are from something from a horror movie. And you've got to understand, the population in Gaza is over half children. They've dropped 1,500 sorties against Gaza in 10 days. Over to 1,500 or 2,000 tons of bombs on Gaza in 10 days, and they're going in and shelling it with tanks and soldiers using this munitions, and they're taking out whole suburbs. My friend Noor said that they can't even list the bodies or the families, or they've never seen anything like it. They're just random. They're going crazy, just random shelling houses, not asking anybody to empty the houses or anything. They've told everybody to leave their homes. If you're in your home, you're Hamas. That's it. That's the mentality that they're using. If the people didn't homes like we told them, then they must be Hamas supporters, and so we're going to kill them. That's the mentality that they're using. But you can't leave your home. I know people that are trapped in their homes, families of 30, 40 people trapped in a tiny building. There's no way out because they're gassing the streets and the soldiers are shooting everything that moves. My friend Noor Harazin, her five-year-old cousin, was shot in the head by an Israeli sniper. There's no reason or rhyme for what they do. They just want to exterminate the Gaza Strip. And if we don't step in, they will. That's what we need, a huge public outcry. Everybody's got to be marching in the streets, calling your politicians, sending emails to people. And you've got to understand that if the politicians in your country, if your government is supporting this ethnic cleansing, and it's coming to a town near you, this is very, very dangerous that our governments would be allowing this to happen. So we need to realize what this is, folks. This is the test. This is the litmus test. Are you really standing for truth? Are you really standing for justice? Or has this just been a spy novel for you? I mean, a lot of the whole truth thing, and a lot of the whole conspiracy and the whole New World Order and the bringing on of World War III, a lot of it is just a big fear game. It's fear porn. It's a spy novel. And it's a big money machine for a lot of people. But who's stepping up to the plate now? This is it. This is it. This is when you've got to draw the line. What do you actually stand for? What do you want for your future? Don't think you can go and build an alternate community or do this or create a free energy device or whatever. If you don't stand for this now, forget all of that. There won't be a future for it because you won't be here because you didn't pay attention to what is happening right before your eyes. Western society has changed with this event. This is legalizing the most brutal slaughter of civilians that you've ever seen simply because there may be a terrorist somewhere in amongst them. And it's allowing it to happen in any country. If we don't address this, then the whole world is Palestine.
I'm just looking at some of these headlines here, and I do want to talk about this, the Shifa Hospital. Can you go into that really quick? We only have a couple of minutes left in this segment, but do you want to read the press release?
Well, the Shifa Hospital, and basically it was just the people, the members of Shifa Hospital, letting you know that there's been, there are a bunch of people in there from Shifa Hospital, and they're just saying, look, we want to know that we're an international crew, here's our names, and we're in potential danger that Shifa Hospital could face. With so many medical facilities and staff being attacked, we cannot guarantee the safety of Shifa Hospital. All we can do is let the world know what Israel is doing and hope action will be taken against them. Many of us will be taking shifts to stay at the hospital as human shields and will do all we can to safeguard the hospital. We are slowly running out of medical facilities and soon patients will end up on the streets and we have no place for the Shaheed. We are not saying that international presence is going to have any effect on the actions of Israel. All we can do is show our solidarity for the Palestinians and let them know we are here to help in any way we can. We are not saying the Shifa Hospital has been threatened. This is merely a warning of the potential danger it could be in. And if anything does happen, let it be known that the world was warned, yet stood by and did nothing.
Let it be known. Everybody knows now, ladies and gentlemen. Kiss the one you love right now. You never know the last time it's going to be. Special thanks to everybody over at GCN. And head on over to truthfrequencyradio.com. We've got another jam-packed, commercial-free hour for you. I want to keep Max on a little bit longer, hopefully throughout the third hour as well. But I want to talk about his plans. He's got a speaking tour coming up as well, but also his plan for Gaza Shield, GazaShield.com as well. Check that out. We love you.
Love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
I suppose the best way to understand it is to recognize that most of us are constantly thinking and stuck in the mind, but that's not the only way that we can experience consciousness.
If you do proper work, you will go directly into hyperspace,
which enable us to convey the understanding of a higher consciousness.
But our brains don't operate at this level.
This is something that goes back, you know, as far as you care to look.
The left brain has no point of reference.
The vibrational patterns of the natural environment we have on the planet is completely reflective of who and what we have been.
Because we were designed, of course, to function as a unit.
It's huge because you chose to come here.
It's all in timing. It looks like right now it's time.
Broadcasting worldwide from an undisclosed location high up on the Rocky Mountains, this is Truth Frequency Radio. And now, here are your hosts, Chris and Cherie Geo.
Hour number three, we are live right here at TruthFrequencyRadio.com. We've got the next hour commercial free for everybody. And it looks like now is the time. I'm noticing that a lot of our soul family is all starting to come together. And I don't know if the audience out there, if you're actually feeling that too, if you're seeing people come into your life and just this connection of energy that we're all experiencing with each other. And this is why this situation in Gaza is the beginning. This is the fight. This is what we have been honing ourselves for, what we've been preparing for, what we've been meditating for. This is it. And this is just the beginning of this battle. And whether this breaks out into World War III or not, whether it stops here with Gaza, which I don't think it will, I think it's going to continue. And this World War III, which, as Max Egan said, has been waged on us for quite some time. It's a war against the people by the elite of the world. I don't like to call them elite because they're scum. They really are scum. But for lack of a better term, the controllers, that's a better way. The people that have controlled the resources and controlled the religions and controlled spirituality, they're waging war against us. That's why I've always talked about the border situation in a way of, in a sense of, like, who cares about the border situation? That's really irrelevant. This is our world. Why do I want to go beg a government to give me a piece of paper so I can move around the world? I don't want that. I want to break down all the borders. I want to break down nationality. I want to break down race and religion and everything that divides us. And once all of those divisive mechanisms have been shattered, all that's left is us versus them. I've always said there's only two types of people in this world. There's those who want to be left alone and those that won't leave them alone. And when we all unite for the common goal, we'll realize as a humanity, as a world population, as a human species, that the people that want to be left alone way outweigh the people that want to control. And we can topple the pyramid. Now, they've used a lot of this rhetoric, the breaking down borders, the one world humanity. They've used that because they know that that's where the human spirit is right now. We're ready for that. We're tired of the old world. We need a new world order, but we need our own new world order, not their new world order. That's how they're bringing in the trap. Mm-hmm. They're using what's in all of our souls, what we're all ready for, what we've all been fighting for, against us. And they're putting it out there like bait, like, hey, we know what's in your soul. We know what you want. You want a one humanity? Well, we'll give that to you under this world government and everybody will live in peace. But first, there has to be total chaos and death and destruction. So the whole world stands up and says, please protect us from these horrible, horrible wars. Please protect us from the genocide. Please protect us from all of this. And they bring in their one world government, which is very antithetical to what I talk about when I talk about breaking down borders. And I know in this patriot age and movement and all of this, which I'm not a part of, I want to make a big distinction on that. I'm not a part of any movement except for the human movement. That's it. I'm a radio broadcaster. That's what I am. I'm a radio broadcaster who wants to leave this world in a better state than when I found it. But in this Patriot movement, they've made us believe that we have to close the borders. We have to lock ourselves in this prison. We have to beg governments for a piece of paper. If people come to try to get a better life here, we have to fight them, even if they're children, even if they're 9 and 10 year old children. We have to look in their eyes and say, you go back home, you go crawl in a hole and die. It's the exact same mentality that Israel is showing towards the Gazan people. You see how this is all connected? All of these games, all of these methods that are being played upon our psyches are also being played upon their psyches as well. And that's how they move this agenda forward. It's a psychological war. It's psychological warfare. What are the solutions? I think together we'll come up with the solutions. There's actually one of our listeners posted this in the chat room. I hope she doesn't mind that I read it out loud. It says, I was listening to Max Egan interview the other day in which someone was quite upset. Many of you have heard it. They were ready and willing to go to territories if enough people were also willing to go. The latest incursion is probably almost over with, but my suggestion is to be prepared way ahead in advance of the next one. What would be ideal is if activists, church groups, Muslims, etc. could all work together and separately to be ready to go to Palestine in short notice. If people had been prepared in advance this time, I'm sure thousands of them would have gone right away. Preparation might include putting aside some money for travel, making arrangements for family members to step in to take care of other family members for the absent person, making arrangements with workplace for an emergency vacation to be allowed if need arises, learning some Hebrew and Arabic, etc. How many times can we just sit back and watch this happen over and over and over again and not get more involved? Most of us are probably already on the government watch list or hit list anyhow, and we all know who runs the governments anyways. I saw a post the other day that said something to the effect that the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. That's Max Egan's words right there. We need to make sure the way, this way, is freedom and not subjugation. Let's make it happen. Very well said. And like I said, the motto of this radio station, first and foremost, is real people, real radio. Because we all are real people. We're not afraid. No hate, no hype, no fear. That's the underlying motto on that. And that's why when you go to truthfrequencyradio.com, the first thing you see is 25, 30 faces right on the front page, because we want you to know that we are real people. We're not afraid. All of us are on a list anyways. If you're not on a list, you're doing something wrong. So we can't be afraid to speak out. Like the caller that called earlier, I wish he would have told us what he was talking about, because I was very interested to hear that. But again, it's that fear, it's that self-censorship that we're putting ourselves under for some strange reason. I don't know why we continue to do this. I think that's what the whole Edward Snowden NSA thing was about, to make people self-censor themselves. That's what it was all about. They're not actually watching everything. They're not listening to everything. Yeah, of course, everything is being fed into a database. But you don't have people sitting there listening to everything. It's being fed into a database, and then maybe they're even using a web bot type technology based on all the communications that are going out there to predict what would be the best move. As a matter of fact, I think that was one of our first shows here in True Frequency with a guy named Anti-Illuminati, who talked about P-TECH and a computer system that actually does this, calculates these scenarios, and then spits out whatever the best scenario is. Mm-hmm. But it's important that we not censor ourselves, because that's exactly what they want. Max Egan, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I've never been one for self-censorship. I think it's a terrible thing to do. I've always been very outspoken in what I say. And this is why I was a little bit shocked with the response I'm receiving from the organizers of Boom about speaking about this issue at the Boom Festival. Because I don't think anybody who's actually coming to see me at Boom would expect me to do anything else. I've always been very passionate in my shows and very passionate in my films, and I don't think people are coming to see some fluffy presentation of how the world's going to be better if we understand how reality works. I mean, it will, but this is an important issue that needs addressing right now. I think it's the most important issue we've seen since 9/11. It's a litmus test for humanity. It truly is. And the thing about it is that the only ones who can save the people of Gaza is us. The governments won't do anything if we don't make noise. So this has to be a focus. And I love what that poster in the chat room wrote. That is absolutely brilliant. That's exactly what we need to do. And I encourage whoever wrote that to please go and sign up to the Gaza Shield mission, because I need organizers as well. I mean, I can't organize all of this myself. I really can't. I'm stretched to the limit at the moment. I'm doing so many things and trying to are you still there?
Yes. I just disconnected the phone lines because it was causing a little bit of bandwidth issue.
Well, I'm doing so many things at the moment, and I'm trying to prepare for this talk in Europe as well. I've got to leave here in 5 days, and I haven't even done anything to prepare for the whole 2 months in Europe because I've been just on Gaza. So I really do need organizers for this. I'll be out of touch probably from August 2nd until probably, I don't know how much internet I'll have until August 12th. So there's going to be 10 days I'm out of the... And I really need people to be out there keeping this going, you know, in that time. You know, I'll be on as much as I can, but I don't know where I'll be because I'll be traveling. So we really, really need to keep this going. I don't want the momentum to die down from all the listeners that I've had and all the supporters that I've had on Facebook and everything. Everyone has been pushing this. When I'm traveling, I really need it to keep pushing on it. And if there is a ceasefire, then I'm prepared to go into Gaza as soon as I've finished my talk at Boom. I don't know what day it will be. It could be as early as August 3rd or 4th it could be as early as August 4th, 5th or 6th. I could be ready to go in Gaza straight away. So I'm trying to organize a conference call with all the people who are ready, who can self-fund to get there. We need self-funders at the moment. I can't afford to get everybody there, obviously. So I'm going to have a conference call to try to organize that tonight. But anybody who wants to be involved in this, please go and sign up to GazaShield.com, because whatever happens, we're going to need a lot of people to go in there and try to make things right, because this is an absolute tragedy. And it's a tragedy every single day that it goes on. We have to stop this immediately, and the troops have to withdraw immediately, and aid needs to get in there immediately, and we have to put pressure on our governments to make it happen. And you know, I'd like to even see people even go to Rafah border, and I'd like to see 1,000 people at Rafah border demanding to get in, you know, I mean, just because it would make a huge media storm. But of course, Rafah border is dangerous. You've got to get to Egypt. You've got to get across. And of course, if a large contingent of people just arrived at Cairo Airport and said they're all going to Rafah border, it's very doubtful the Egyptian authorities would let them do it. You'd have to go by stealth. You'd have to kind of come in one at a time, or trickle it in over a period of a week or two, just pretend you're there to see the pyramids and find someone to drive you out to Rafah border and just get there and kind of arrive by stealth. That'd be the only way to really pull that off. At the moment, if there is a large contingent of people that wanted to do that, I mean, that would help. Anything would help. Anything that will create some sort of public attention and create some sort of a media storm, anything that will get the attention of people will help. We need as much attention as possible placed on this, because this is the only hope that people in Gaza Strip have, is us. Otherwise, there will be no survivors, and I can guarantee you that. So we've got to really, really step up the pace, folks. This is a very, very important issue.
Absolutely. Max, you're breaking up a little bit, so I'm going to disconnect and reconnect with you real quick. Hopefully we can get a little better connection. And I've got a couple of questions for Max as well. So let's get him right back on the line, and we do have him. So, Max, let me ask you this. Without compromising any of the Gaza Shield mission, what do you anticipate the procedure, or, you know, when you get there, what can people expect if they volunteer for a mission like this?
Oh, look, it will be a mission like no other. It really will, Chris. If people haven't been into a war zone before, they really need to think about what they're doing. Like, I actually wrote a letter. I can actually read you a little bit of that letter if you like. It probably explain it a little bit better.
Please do.
What I've said here is that at this time, for the initial entry, should initial entry be achieved, I can only afford to take a set team in there. And what will be needed are people with specific skills and, of course, willing workers. We need a lot of them as well. But if you're someone who's serious about entering to Gaza, there are some very important things to consider before committing to this mission, and that is that Gaza is a war zone. And after the brutality of this assault, this has been a vicious, vicious assault, you know, and after the brutality of this assault, like I said, 1,500 strikes they've made against Gaza Strip, you know, you're going to arrive and the reality that you're going to find yourself in is going to completely shock you, it's going to scare you, it's going to horrify you, okay? You've got to keep in mind that Gaza is a population, or it had a population of 1.8 million people, including 900,000 children. And these people were blocked into this area, and the whole area has been reduced to rubble. It's a city area, right? This is not a country. This is a packed city, buildings, rubble everywhere, 1,500 strikes on it. It's going to be absolutely brutal. And the death toll is going to be absolutely enormous, and what you're going to be entering into is going to assault your senses like nothing you have possibly imagined. You know, I've got to warn people of that. You know, if you've never been in a war zone, you need to seriously consider whether this is a reality that you're prepared to experience, and consider the brutality that you're going to witness and what effect it may have upon you. You know, like these type of things can be extremely testing, even for the most battle-hardened soldier, let alone humanitarians. So these are very, very important things to consider. So you need to really, really think long and hard on this, you know, because we don't have time to babysit people on this mission. This is going to be a desperate mission to find survivors of this brutal, brutal assault and to bring them what medical aid we can. And again, you're entering into a war zone where they've used all sorts of exotic weaponry, and the injuries you're going to see is horrific. There's going to be body parts and bodies everywhere. There's going to be disease and stench. It's going to be absolutely horrendous. That's why we need to get in there so quickly, because in that type of an environment, people simply will not survive for very long. There's no water. These people don't have any water. They have no shelter. And if the Israelis are going through just basically ethnically cleansing the whole place, anybody who doesn't leave their home is a target, and anybody who does leave their home is a target. That's the way it is. They want them to leave their homes because they want to get them out into the open, because they're gassing them when they get them out in the open. If they stay in their homes, they're harder to find. So it's better if the people stay in their homes. They know this, because then it's hard. It's they have to go house to house. It's a much longer process before they're going to be at everybody. So it's up to us to bring a stop to this. And realize that it has to be immediate. And like I said, Gaza Strip's only 25 miles long, 5 miles wide. So Israel doesn't have to negotiate a peaceful withdrawal or anything like that. This is a small area. You can get out in one day. So you get out in one day. We don't need a week-long withdrawal, because in a week-long, these people will be dead. You know, thousands more people will be dead if you leave it another week. Every day is a disaster. Every hour is a disaster. Every minute is another death. They killed 60 people in 1 hour the other day. So this is what we have to think about, folks. This is what we're facing. This is the type of brutality we're facing. And if we're going to allow this level of brutality to be committed by a Western nation, we're in deep trouble, and we've lost our direction to a degree that we may never, ever recover from if we don't address this issue. So people have got to make noise about this. Huge, huge public outcries. I want to see everybody mailing their politicians, ringing them up, mailing them, emailing them, letters, everything. Everybody that you know you need to be talking about this with. Go to the bread shop, talk about it with the people in the bread shop. Go to the supermarket, talk about it in the supermarket. This is ethnic cleansing, and all of our governments are supporting it. It's a very, very dangerous time for us to be in. I mean, I can't stop pushing this point. I really can't. I mean, yeah, I don't know where to go, where else to go with this. I don't know how much to, what else to say, how not to be able to point out to people how desperate this situation is, you know. It's like nothing I've ever seen, you know. And what terrifies me and what upsets me so much is that they are truly a gentle people, the people in Gaza. You know, you've never been there, most of you people. The people out there, you've just been told all of this stuff about the Palestinians. But if you see the utter brutality that's being unleashed on them now, the worst, worst terrorism we've ever seen in history, with the most brutal weapons ever invented, you've really got to ask yourself, who are the bad guys here? You know, like I said, it's like the world's heavyweight champion having a boxing match with a newborn baby. And it's simply not acceptable.
Now, once this Gaza Shield is in effect, what kind of changes do you anticipate can be made? Can we pull people out and actually bring people to safety? Will there even be a way to get people out?
Well, we'll have to. What will have to happen is we'll have to get people out and get them to our hospital, to some sort of safety, hopefully somewhere in Egypt. But I mean, how do we do that? We need an international mission, and we need, you know, Amnesty International. And what's wrong with all of these organizations? I mean, we know they're corrupt anyway, but how blatant are they going to make it? Well, Amnesty International is saying we have yet to see conclusive evidence of killing of civilians. Are you kidding me? 1,500 strikes on Gaza Strip. It was Netanyahu saying they're killing everybody who doesn't leave their homes. What more evidence do you need? You know, I mean, it's brutal, but we've got to find some way. I mean, I don't think Israel is going to give Gaza Strip back. I think they will keep it as part of Israel. And it's just not acceptable. We have to find it. But even if they do that, we've got to find a way of getting these Palestinian people out, because otherwise Israel will kill them all and just say they were all Hamas because they didn't leave their homes. And if people have got to see what's going on here, you know, it's shocking. You know, and I've still got friends in there that are alive. I was speaking to Noor Harazin yesterday. I'm going to call her again today. I want to call her every day while she's there. She's putting out reports of what's going on the ground. But, I mean, we know what's going on the ground. I'm just trying to do my best to keep it up there, keep the momentum up there, get people enraged about this. We can still stop this. We can still save a lot of people. And like I said, I'm ready to go in there at a day's notice. I really can. I mean, even with Boom, the talks through Europe and everything, I mean, this is far more important. If I have to cancel anything, I will, if it means saving lives in Gaza. And that's my focus at the moment. So as soon as there's some type of ceasefire, I know there's a short one at the moment, but what is a short one? Just draw it out a little bit more, give them a little bit of hope so they can start pounding them again. And the ceasefire, I mean, the soldiers are still through there shooting people. There is no ceasefire. The Israelis aren't stopping. They're going through. They're blasting everything. They're shooting everything. You know, I mean, I saw a satellite picture the other day of Gaza Strip that you could see the explosions. You could see the whole strip was just lit up. It was the saddest sight I've ever seen. And we can fix it, folks. We can still save a lot of people if we act now. But we have to act. So, yeah, I don't know what else to say about it. Chris, we have to act.
I'm looking at a video now. That's what that noise was. So it's not supposed to be coming through the broadcast. Anyways, I'm looking at this video of these Israelis dancing around missiles and putting stickers on them. I can't read what the stickers say, but they're dancing around. I can't even look at this stuff, Max. It's really just gut-wrenching. And I'm flipping through a couple of different articles. I see Glenn Beck as well, talking about anti-Semite and throwing this anti-Semite word around. These Islamics are getting together for an anti-Semitic rally. Well, the definition of a Semite is somebody of Arab descent or of an Arab-speaking country. How can they be anti-Semites when they are Semites themselves? It's driving me up the wall. Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, the programming, the whole world is in a state of mass hypnosis. It's incredible. And when you look at this, when you see them dancing around, putting stickers on bombs, and children are playing with guns, like those photos that I showed you, and those children writing "Love from Israel" on bombs, what this is a culture that worships death. That's what it is. And it worships death in the most brutal manner possible. They're literally dancing around and having great fun because they are obliterating a people in the most brutal manner imaginable. They are exterminating every last single one of them. And they are dancing and celebrating in such glee because it's a culture that worships death. So again, what God is it that these people were chosen by? You know?
Oh, it's the devil, without a doubt. I mean, I have no doubt whatsoever that that's exactly what they are. Wow. We just lost connection. Let's see if we can get, really? Yes.
Oh my God, that's creepy.
The whole broadcast just completely just... Wow. And it doesn't look like we can reconnect to our servers. I don't know exactly what is going on here. This is insane. I mean,
bravo, Zionists.
What is going
Touché.
On here? Okay, I think we're reconnected here. I don't know. Maybe they are listening. I did see a few people from Tel Aviv hanging out on the globe there. Max, do we have you back?
You do? That was interesting.
That was right at that particular time. Everything just stopped. The whole broadcast stopped. We lost connection for a while. The recorder's still going. So we did get it on the recording, but I am just at a loss for what is going on here. So,
Wow.
Yeah. There's an article here, and I don't know if you had a chance to look at this, Max, but it says, media cover-up, U.S. played a decisive behind-the-scenes role in Israel's attack on Gaza. Did you happen to
guess this? No, I haven't seen that one. I haven't had a chance to get to too much today yet. I've been so busy organizing stuff. But, I mean, a lot of the weapons that they're using are actually supplied by the U.S. I mean, where do they get the money from? They're all from U.S. taxes anyway. So, you know, Obama's in this up to his eyebrows. Didn't Obama send troops? Didn't he send 2,000 troops in to help or something?
No. Actually, there's a website called nationalreport.com, and it looks like we're back on air. So everybody who's just tuning in, sorry about that little hiccup. There's a website called nationalreport.com, and it's a parody website, and it's just like The Onion or something like that. And they put out these ridiculous stories, and I see people circulating them, and it looks like real stories. There's no indication that these are fake stories. But I've even been victim before. I've seen a couple of stories and went, oh, my God. You know, and then I realized, oh, it's National Report. And even their website looks like it's somewhat legitimate. If you really look at it, it looks kind of hokey. But at first glance, it does look legitimate. But, yeah, unfortunately, that was something that came from National Report.
Yeah, I don't know. I never actually saw the article. Someone just told me, and I went, what? Are you kidding me? That can't be, you know, what? Anyway. It was really, like I said, it was really good to see the Irish Parliament standing up about it. Claire Daly, did you see that? Claire Daly? What, she nailed it. She absolutely nailed it.
No, and, I didn't see it. Tell us. Yeah, what did you say?
Oh, well, I'll give you the link. It just looked Claire Daly. You can find a link on my website. Go to a link on my website. I said, outrage as Gaza slaughter continues. Or something like that. That's in the headlines.
Okay.
But she really called it out for what it is, which was absolutely beautiful. And it's good to see a government standing up and saying that. And thank God for the Irish, eh? You know? So they've been through similar stuff themselves. But again, not like this, you know? I mean, all we can hope to do, Chris, is keep the pressure up. We've got to keep it up. We've got to make sure it grows. We've got to let everybody know what's going on here. This is not a war. This is a slaughter. It's genocide. And like I said, I've been to these people. I've met these people. They're kind, gentle people. I ran around their country with a video camera. Hamas, buddy, gave me a driver to get me home safely and sent my lost luggage after me. I mean, what can I say, you know? I'd say to the agitators in there that keep sending the rockets over, I mean, I reckon these guys must be working for Israel, because who benefits from this? Who benefits from any of the stuff that happens? It's always Israel. You know, how does Hamas benefit from these rockets going over there? How do the people in Gaza benefit from these rockets being fired over the wall? And the rockets never hit anything. They never hurt anybody. They never do anything. They look bad because they leave big smoke trails, but that's just a fertilizer pack in the bottom. It leaves a lot of smoke. It's fertilizer. You know, it's just a metal pipe with a bunch of fertilizer stuffed in the back, so it shoots over the wall, leaves a big trail in the sky, and doesn't do a damn thing except put a hole in your roof or put a black splodge in the road, or like you say, scare a squirrel out of a tree. And they respond with 1,500 ordnance against this impoverished community that have been there for 7 years behind this wall. They tell them, we're giving them messages to leave and to go to safety, but there's nowhere to go because they're behind a wall and they're shooting anything that goes out in the streets anyway.
Well, you know,
if they left and went to safety, they'd just be exterminated a lot quicker than they would if they stay in their homes.
I think you hit something key right there, and that's the fact that there really has been no damage from these rockets that were supposedly sent over into Israel. They're supposed to be getting bombarded, as the Israeli press is reporting, thousands of rockets per day, and Israel's just getting just bombarded with, I think it's 1,600 rockets or something. I don't remember what the numbers are. Something ridiculous.
Like,
but there's no body count. there hasn't been anybody injured from any of these rockets, and that's what people need to realize. Sure, they may be sending rockets out there, but they're nothing more than bottle rockets. And they're not sending that many rockets.
They can't possibly be sending that many rockets. It isn't possible for them to be sending thousands of rockets a day. These are little tiny rockets that you put in the boot of your car. They fold up on a tripod. I mean, these are tiny little things. I mean, and with the bombardment that's going on, it's not possible. There's probably a few Israeli soldiers over there with little skyrockets that they're sending over the fence just so they got an excuse to keep the troops bombarding these people. And you've got the Iron Dome program, which probably adds as many blips on the screen as they want. And it just, it's rubbish. It's absolute rubbish, you know. It's an open slather. It's just genocide. That's all it is. That's all it's ever been right from the very beginning. That was their plan right from the start, right from when these youths got kidnapped. You know, and they figured out it wasn't Hamas. It wasn't Hamas that kidnapped these youths anyway. And what about the Israeli, the Palestinian youths that the Israelis kidnapped and tortured and killed the week before? And the Palestinian boy that they killed and burnt alive the week after, that was absolutely horrific. What sort of a culture does that to somebody? What sort of a culture gets an innocent teenage boy and tortures him and burns him alive the way they did that poor boy? Just because of somebody else who killed somebody else that was not even related to them. It's absolutely sick that anybody could do that. You know, and this is the type of culture that we're dealing with. And they're going in there open slather against the people of Gaza. And I just can't handle it. I haven't been able to sleep. I haven't been able to think about anything else. My friends in there are being slaughtered. And these are beautiful people. And we've got to stop it. So I've just been trying to keep this going and keep this wave going and create as much outcry as possible about this. And I've been doing it around the clock, and I really hope people keep at it, because we have to stop this. We have to make sure we stop this. And if this does go ahead, folks, if this does continue and these people get just destroyed completely and this goes to pass and Gaza becomes Israel forever, then we need to all pay serious attention. You know, the people of this world need to understand that our governments are out of control. Every single government that hasn't stood up against this and who doesn't stand up against it is out of control. Each one of these people is a psychopath, because only a psychopath could support this type of behavior. You know, if you've got a government like in Australia here, you've got Tony Abbott saying how much he supports Israel in their right to defend themselves. This man is a cold-blooded psychopath who should be held for war crimes, as complicit to war crimes, simply for showing his support to Israel in the ethnic cleansing of the last of the Palestinian people and the theft of the last piece of Palestine by this rogue state. And that's what's happening. Now, Israel has held the world to ransom for so long with the term anti-Semitic. And it's a joke. It's not true. To criticize Israel and to criticize the government of Israel is not anti-Semitic at all, because the government of Israel is the most anti-Semitic organization on the planet. All it's done is attack the Semitic people and attack its neighbors ever since it was formed. And I won't hide behind that word anymore. I won't let them hide behind that word. If they won't let a terrorist hide behind a civilian, then I will not let war crimes and corruption and genocide and ethnic cleansing hide behind the word anti-Semitic.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
Well, in the
Max,
UN.
Hold on. I hate to interrupt the broadcast like this, Max, but can you drop me that link to the Claire? I don't remember what her last name is. I would love to play that on air.
Claire Daly. Okay, I will find you the link right now, brother.
Okay, fantastic. Shireen, take us away.
The UN recently did a vote to see if Israel could be possibly accused, maybe, of committing war crimes. And the only country insane in this situation was the United States. We were the only country out of all the countries in the UN that said, you know what? Israel has a right to defend itself, and it's not doing anything wrong. We were the only country to say that.
Well, you know, Israel has the United States like a bull in a rodeo, with a rope tied around their balls, literally, and pulls it anytime that they want some kind of action or something like that. I mean, we are totally led by the nose. And maybe it is the Samson option. Maybe it's the fact that most of our politicians have dual citizenship with Israel. And when you have dual citizenship, Israel comes first. Everybody has taken a pledge and allegiance to Israel. The media here in the United States, you don't go anywhere unless you support Israel. You know, I mean, who knows how many affiliates we're going to lose just by talking about this stuff. But I, you know what? I don't care. That's the thing. I don't care. I care about the truth. And if they're going to start cutting down our audience and cutting down our reach and things like that, well, you know what? We'll just build it back up ourselves. That's the way that I see it.
Well, I mean, and the truth is, you know, that article that I mentioned earlier to you, Chris, that's not out of the National Report. It's Global Research, actually, was the people that found it. And according to them, the mainstream media has been, I mean, at least the mainstream media here in the U.S. and in places even like the BBC, our mainstream media has been very complicit in this whole thing with Gaza.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. They have. No, I'm talking about the 2,000 troops being sent by Obama. Was that in this article as well? Because I read this on the National Report. Somebody posted it and said, oh my God, and I freaked out. Not really. I didn't really freak out, but I jumped out of my seat when I first read it, and then I realized it was National Report.
No, this is talking about the NBC executives led by the Media Corporation's president, Phil Griffin, and that whole ordeal.
Okay. Now, the article from National Report I was referring to was the 2,000 troops supposedly being sent in there. Yeah, yeah. And these kind of websites shouldn't do this at this particular time. I mean, we're dealing with serious information here. If you're going to do some onion pieces, that's one thing, because that is, a blatant joke. And you can tell it's a joke, although I have seen some onion pieces being circulated as if they're real news. There's one where it's it's like a congressional hearing. And he's talking about flesh-eating blank, and oh, this is classified, and oh, that's classified, et cetera, et cetera. And it's even got the Onion logo at the bottom. People still circulate it, but it is what it is. I want to run this clip really quick by Claire Daly, and it's about 7 minutes long. So I don't know if we're going to play the whole thing or not. We're just going to kind of play it by ear, because I haven't heard this yet, so I don't know what it is. And I'm not getting any audio whatsoever. Can you take us away for a moment, Cherie?
Yeah, sure. Okay. I hesitate to have any kind of strong opinion in this whole thing whenever I consider my family and how much they raised me to support Israel no matter what they did and no matter how out of line they seem to the rest of the world, because they can do no wrong, literally. It's just like how God in the Bible gets away with genocide. He gets away with, you know, killing babies that have done nothing wrong. That's his whole MO. To be okay with that, to see that as a necessary evil, to see killing babies as a necessary evil because they were going to grow up to be, you know, terrorist babies that were going to kill the Israelites. Their justification for even things like torture has caused me to have to resign myself to the fact that they're never going to see things the way that a normal, healthy human being in the light that's not overshadowed by religion sees these kinds of events. They're never going to get to the point where they can see it from a truthful, honest perspective. And I have to be okay with that to some degree because they're my family and I love them. But it has been really unnerving to hear them go on and on and on about it. As if it's just like saying, hey, the sky's blue today.
Okay, here we go. We've got audio going.
Solidarity with the peoples of Palestine and Gaza, and to express a public condemnation of the ferocious and unwarranted massacre being perpetrated against those people by the Israeli state. And I echo the points made by Deputy McLaughlin. I think the world is looking on in horror, is shocked at the underrepresented voice of the Palestinian people. And in fact, when I would like to condemn in some senses the coverage in our own national broadcaster who has tried to portray this as a fight amongst equals or some sort of a civil war, when in fact it is a genocide, and it is in fact like the world heavyweight championship boxer taking on a newborn baby. That's the parallel of the forces at play here. We've had 1,500 attacks on Gaza in the last 10 days, 1,500 tons of explosives, and the majority of casualties being amongst civilians. But we have to step back from that. This isn't just a recent phenomenon, despite the recent escalation. The reality is that the Israeli offensive has been ongoing for some considerable time, with the detention of Palestinians on an unacceptable level and an intrusion in their daily lives. And we had the privilege a week or two ago of meeting in here a member of the Israeli Defence Forces, a member of Breaking the Silence, who saw from his own experiences inside the Israeli army about the propaganda that's taught to Israeli people about the role of the army, when he was quite clear, as indeed that exhibition was, that they are an army of occupation, that it's nothing to do with defence, it's an assault on people's living standards. So I want to know, why have we been so silent? I want an absolute condemnation from the Irish government of what's going on, a demand for the massacre to be ceased, for the bombardment to be ceased. I want a condemnation of Obama, Hollande and Cameron, who have stood shoulder to shoulder with the Israeli state. Small wonder when they pump in billions, a majority of which is given back to their own arms industry. And I want you to let us know what you're going to do about that and the illegal Israeli settlements on the ground in Gaza and Palestine.
Deputy, and Deputy Mick Wallace.
Thank you, Minister, all the best in your new portfolio. No doubt we'll have plenty of battles in here. To date, more than 200 Palestinians have been killed, mostly civilians, women and children. In contrast, there's been one fatality on the Israeli side. I don't understand how the Irish government has stayed so silent. Over 300,000 Palestinians have been asked to move or to be displaced in preparation for an imminent attack. What's happening right now amounts to a massacre. It's not a war, and we should all be concerned. Israel claimed that it had the right to self-defence, but an occupying power does not have the right to self-defence. It has an obligation and a duty to protect the civilians under its protection, occupation. Even if it fails to meet that duty, it must abide by humanitarian law, principles of distinction, proportionality and of necessity. It has not abided by any of these. What's happening in Gaza amounts to war crimes. It is a repeat of what happened already in 08, 09 and 2012. We will see this repeated again unless Israel is held to account under international humanitarian law and under international criminal law. We need responsible governments to introduce sanctions in order to work towards stopping these massacres and to address the root causes of these flare-ups, which is the structural violence of occupation, of apartheid and of settler colonialism. Hamas and other Palestinian leaders are very suspicious of Middle East envoy Tony Blair, acting as the link between Israel and Egypt. Blair is clearly a defender of Israel's interests, and in the interest of peace, the Irish government should advocate at European level for the removal of Blair, who should be tried for war crimes for his disgraceful involvement in the Iraq war. Last week, Netanyahu said, "No international pressure will prevent us from acting with all power," claiming to have recently had good conversations with leaders including Barack Obama and EU heads of government. Minister, are we also going to be complicit? Despite the fact that United Nations top human rights official has called for an investigation into Israeli airstrikes in Gaza on the grounds that the targeting of Palestinian homes, resulting in a high death toll among civilians, particularly children, violates international law. Minister, is there any chance that our government would take a neutral position and highlight how disgraceful the Israeli behaviour is?
Corlett Minister, I too want to wish you well in your post, but I have to say your response has been wholly inadequate in the context of the crisis that's unfolding in Gaza. And the idea that the rockets which are being launched could in somehow justify what you deem to be Israel's response is well short of the mark. I mean, let's be clear about this. What's been fired from Gaza is well off the mark. It's not hitting home. It's very low key in terms of the firepower that's coming across from the other side. And the evidence of that is in the body count. Nothing on the Israeli side. A massive civilian loss on the side of the Palestinian people. And And I think the point we're trying to make here today is that we're a neutral country inside the EU. A majority of the EU countries have bent the knee in slavish adherence to the United States and their colleagues in Israel for their own economic interests. We can be a beacon against that and be a voice of reasoned citizens across Europe to say that this should not continue. And I think we need to do a lot more. I echo the points about the Israeli ambassador, but I think we need to lead the way in terms of an economic embargo on the settlements and an undermining of all illegal Israeli activity, which is behind a lot of the present conflict.
Well, thank you, Deputy. Deputy Michael Wallace.
Minister, unfortunately, the US and Egypt are happy to see Hamas take a beating. On Monday, John Kerry said the US was concerned about escalating tensions. On Tuesday, he said, I cannot condemn strongly enough the actions of Hamas. Now, you were talking about both sides behaving themselves. If France invaded Liechtenstein, killed 200 of them, and there was one French person killed, would we be saying to the two countries, oh, come on now, lads, we'll just behave ourselves and make up? It's not what we'd be saying. We'd be throwing absolutely anything we could at France. It's outrageous what's going on. Everyone knows what Hamas's demands are not ridiculous. They're looking for the blockade to be ended. They're looking for the release of 50 prisoners that were released recently and rearrested in exchange for an Israeli soldier. And they want the opening of the Rafah border crossing with Egypt. If the US continues to defend the indefensible, Israel is going to continue to behave abysmally.
Thank you.
That's no reason why the Irish government should behave abysmally. Let's call a spade, Minister. We need to be seen as a neutral country.
Thank you, Deputy.
And just call a spade.
Good, Margaret. Minister, it's 2 minutes to conclude.
Wow. That was extremely inspiring. It's amazing to see the whole world standing up. I'm looking at some of the related videos, and it says UK Parliament also accusing Israel of war crimes. The entire world is basically accusing Israel of war crimes. Now, these are just congressmen and senators and people of that level. So it's really ultimately up to the shadow governments who are behind the scenes. But it's amazing to see the world all standing up together. But that's what they want. You know, that's what they want, though.
Yeah, well, if America is truly the champion of peace that it is, it needs to send a peacekeeping force in there. So does the United Nations. There needs to be a peacekeeping force sent in there instantly, to stop any more Israeli aggression and to stop any more loss of life, to prevent any more loss of life. We can't allow the last piece of this country to be stolen by terrorists. This is the worst case of terrorism I've ever seen, and it's been enacted by the Army of Israel. And this is absolutely unacceptable. And if Western nations do not rally and send a force in there or something in there and put pressure on Israel right now to stop this, then we've lost control of all of our countries. The countries no longer serve the people. Our governments no longer serve the people. Unfortunately, that is the stark reality of this situation. And the only thing that will turn the tide from that point is the people themselves, because otherwise, the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. This is a very, very dangerous position to be in, and we can't let these people go. We can't lose the last remnants of Palestine. We cannot do this. These are such kind people, and we've got to do everything we can. I mean, I've been hitting every blog, every news forum. I've been writing letters. I've been making phone calls. I've been doing everything I can, trying to organize this Gaza Shield operation as well. And this is going to happen. The Gaza Shield operation is going to happen. As soon as there's an end to hostilities, we're going straight in there, you know. But it depends on Israel. It depends on whether Israel will let anybody in, whether they will end the hostilities. If they don't, well, you know, what do you do from that point? You know, if they don't, then we have to realize that our governments have all just been complicit in one of the worst war crimes in history, and we've got to deal with the matter ourselves from that point. So we're right on a knife edge here. And we can turn things around, and I really hope that people will stand for the Palestinian people and stand for these poor, poor, innocent women and children in Gaza who are being absolutely brutalized by Israeli terrorists right as we speak.
What do you think Netanyahu is thinking? I mean, what's going through his mind right now? Can you speculate on that at all? Because I can't even begin to imagine what he's thinking. I mean, the entire world is looking on this right now.
He doesn't care. He's a megalomaniacal psychopath. He does not care. He believes he has the power to do anything he wants to do. And look, he is. So what do you know? And that's why we have to put pressure on it. He's the most dangerous person the world has ever faced. Give a psychopath a nuclear arsenal, and this is what you get, you know. And he is a full-blown psychopath. The man is pure evil. Only a man who was the purest of pure evil could do something like this to a civilian population trapped behind a wall. Only a complete and utter lunatic, psychopath, genocidal maniac. There are not words. There are no words to describe the level of evil that is Benjamin Netanyahu.
Let me step out on a limb here and go into the spiritual realm for a moment. Do you think there is some kind of darker force at work here, some kind of maybe demonic possession, extraterrestrial, interdimensional influence, etc.? Or are these just psychopathic people?
Well, you know, they've been kicked out of, 100 countries in the last 250 years or something, and they keep getting kicked out of everywhere. They're not a very friendly sort of a culture. You've got to wonder where it comes from, though. I mean, the concept of the Archons is interesting, you know, the concept of the covenant that was made with Yahweh. As I've mentioned many, many times, that was when everything went wrong, when the covenant was made with Yahweh and Abraham was promised the land of Israel, because in that moment, Abraham was dispossessed of his heritage, the earth. At that moment, he actually believed he could own a part of it. And you can't own the earth. That's a fiction. It's not real. You can't own anything. You're only here for a little while. You know, you don't actually own anything. Not if you're alive. You don't own anything at all. You don't even really own your body. Your body's just a vessel you're using for the experience. So it's a very deep spiritual understanding. And in that moment when Abraham was promised a certain piece of land for his to own, he became locked to that land and he lost his heritage, which was the abundance of the earth. It now became everything attached to that land. And then the line of Abraham, they went out and they dispossessed everybody else. And we've been fighting over the ownership of land ever since. That's what all of these wars have been about. They've all been about territory, haven't they? Right since the beginning. Where did this come from? It all came, really, I believe, from that covenant, the belief that ownership is real. So who was this Yahweh character? Well, when we look at the Gnostics, they say he's the head archon and his name is Yaldabaoth. He's an insane alien who wants to bring about the destruction of mankind.
I agree with
that. That's what the Gnostics say. And when you look at the actions of the modern-day state of Israel, well, you have to wonder. Perhaps they are God's chosen, but perhaps it's just not the God that everybody thought it was, you know. And again, I mean, it's difficult because knowing how reality works and knowing that everybody is simply a frequency of energy, that's all there really is after all. We're all just vessels walking around experiencing this stuff. It becomes very difficult to hate these people. You've got to understand they're all running a program. They're just fully programmed. And you can tell that by the culture that we've looked at earlier in the show. Children putting stickers on bombs and writing love from Israel on a bomb that's going to kill children. Young children doing obstacle courses and playing with automatic machine guns when they're 4 and 5 years old. I mean, this is a culture of death that's programmed into the people. So it becomes very difficult to judge them. On an everyday level, one-to-one situations, a lot of them are quite nice people. It's just that they have this inner programming that really isn't their fault. You know, I mean, I don't judge anybody as being bad, but I think there are psychopaths in that society that make sure it continues. And of course, that type of a culture, that type of a program is designed to breed psychopaths and at least breed a sociopathic mentality into anybody, but also to breed psychopaths. And from that pot, you're going to have people like Benjamin Netanyahu rise to the surface because, as I said, this man is absolute pure evil. Who but a messenger and an emissary of pure evil could carry out such carnage upon 900,000 children in Gaza Strip?
Very well said.
Very.
Wow. We've got about a minute left, Max. I just want to say thank you very much for everything that you're doing and for where your heart is and your passion, because you're bringing a lot of light to this very, very, very dark subject. And I know that you have motivated me and prompted me to look at this even more. And as a result, I've been tapped in way more than I've ever been into any particular situation. And I can see in a much broader perspective and see that this is much bigger than just what's happening in Gaza. It's much bigger than what's happening in Palestine. This, as you said, very, very wise words, genocide will become the way of the world if we don't put a stop to it right here and right now.
Absolutely. It's so important. And please, please don't stop the momentum. We must save Gaza. It is so important. This is the turning point, folks, and we're all involved in this. So please, please pay attention and spread the information and make as much noise in as many places as loudly as you possibly can. And I urge anybody who wants to get involved to please go and sign up to GazaShield.com and await instructions. We're doing what we can to get it all off the ground.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time and best of luck with everything. But Max, remember, we need you in the war. We can't lose you at the first battle. So please, everything that you do, take heed, take caution with you.
Absolutely, brother. I'm good. Free Palestine.
We love you. We love you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for tuning in this evening. And we will see you tomorrow. We've got Stephen Bassett on the broadcast. We'll talk about extraterrestrials and something a little bit different, because we've got to balance it out. That's all I can say. We've got 9 hours with Max Egan, just that we did on our show. And also, he's been on Kev Baker's show, Joe Joseph. I mean, we've just got so much information right here at TruthFrequencyRadio.com. Definitely check out all of these wonderful hosts. Kiss the one you love right now. You never know the last time it's going to be. We love you.
Love you guys. See you tomorrow. Castaways, outlaws of the game like Thomas Paine was. They masquerade us. Who's to blame? It's now set to explode like a hand grenade does. No peace to seize the police to show peace. Unleash beef, no relief. Peace underneath the beast that lies dormant. Forced to use force, torture, use caution. Tossed to the ground like a subliminal blinded. Like KRS-One, cause I'm criminal minded. I run with soldiers amongst the vultures. Now you're under control, cause you do what they told you. The front lines now, we're living the battle.